Welcome to Illinois State University. This is Myrna Corbett, President of Student Alumni Council, and I'm talking with John Hodge, President of the Class of 1938 at ISU, at homecoming activities on October 29, 1983. During this bit of oral history, we will be reminiscing about the way it was in 1938. We hope that those who listen to this tape will enjoy hearing from the persons who have volunteered to record this bit of ISU history and will find it interesting and informative. First, Mr. Hodge, as you think back 45 years, what are some of the things that are foremost in your memory of what life was like then at Illinois State University?
I think, first of all, the thing that occurs to me is what a close relationship everyone had at school at that time. The student body was small. It was depression days. There was no differentiation one from another on the basis of money. Nobody had any money. The faculty were close enough to the students so that there was a marvelous relationship. And the closeness is one of my dearest memories, and I think one of the most valuable parts of going to this school at that time. You might be interested to know that Illinois State Normal University had quarters then instead of semesters. And a $10 fee covered all of our enrollment costs for a quarter. To cover the tuition, we each signed a pledge that we would teach, and that took care of the tuition. The $10 fee covered all of our books, an activity ticket, which included all the ball games, free movies every weekend in Capon Auditorium, and I suppose it's unbelievable now that you could go to school for $30 for a year's work, for three quarters work.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Our tuition has definitely gone up since then. So ISU was, back then it was ISNU,
yes.
Correct?
Normal, yes, the Illinois State Normal University, and we called it Normal.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I heard the school song this morning over WJBC, and part of that song when we were here was "Here's to Normal, Dear Old Normal."
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered what they had substituted for those words now.
I don't know, because unfortunately, I don't even know the alma mater, which
uh-huh.
is, I'm a senior and I don't. Okay, so could you just give me an idea of how many students were enrolled in 1938?
I think when we started, our class was the largest class that had enrolled for a great number of years, and I believe there were 700 in our entering freshman class.
Okay.
And I think that brought the school total up to between 1,300 and 1,400 students.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about what you remember about President Fairchild?
Well, President Fairchild, first of all, was very impressive in his size. He must have been at least 6'6", and he must have weighed close to 300 pounds. And I can remember we had assembly in those days in Capon Auditorium. And I can remember President Fairchild standing in front of the assembly many times talking about school spirit. And as he talked about school spirit, his prominent lower jaw would sort of move back and forth. And so we got to imitating his saying of school spirit and trying to move our jaws in the same way, and I don't think ever really succeeding. But he was a very excellent administrator, and he was president of the university for many years. And he did a great deal to help build Illinois State Normal to a more prestigious position than it had, when he started.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good administrator. And we had his school spirit that he liked to talk about prevailed. Also, he was a disciplinarian. Dean Schrader was the dean of the university at that time, and he was an even more strict disciplinarian. I'm sure you have heard people mention that you could not smoke on campus.
Mm-hmm.
You could not, if anybody touched a bottle of beer or any drink on or off of campus, they were eligible to be expelled. That ought to take care of the party situation today pretty well, I think.
Okay. Who were some of the professors and university administrative officials that you remember, and for what special reasons?
Well, of course, I remember the head of our department. I was an ag major, and Mr. Huddleston, Clyde Huddleston, was our head. A very kind man and a very big man physically, and very strong man, very helpful, dedicated to his students, helped many, many boys get through school on no money or virtually no money. I remember Dean Schrader, that I've mentioned. Dean Lincolns was our dean of men, rather effeminate kind of a dean, but dedicated to his students. I remember in particular two English teachers, Miss Gerda Okerlund and a Miss Teeger, both of whom were shining examples of literary ability and true intellectuals, I think, both of them. Miss Berniger was a teacher of educational philosophy and very bright and helpful. I remember a man in the biological science department, Dr. Lamke, who assisted me when I filled out an application for a scholarship to get a master's degree over at Illinois, the only scholarship that they gave with money. And I got $400 a year, and that paid my way, believe it or not, through the University of Illinois for a year. But I recall Dr. Lamke, when I was filling out that application, saying, this is no time to be modest, John. And so I remember him quite well.
Okay, students today talk about how difficult it is to complete their education, be it financial problems, whatever. How do you compare how it was during your years here to the way it seems to be today?
I really don't think it's any different. I can remember in particular Joe Saylor, who would scrounge around as best he could on a weekend to find a job that wouldn't let him earn a dollar. And I remember that Joe would live for a week on 25 cents worth of dry navy beans and maybe milk or something that he would add to that. There was no money then.
Mm-hmm.
There is some money now. But the people who wanted to go to school could earn it and could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing exists today. I firmly believe that if anybody wants anything bad enough, they can do what they want to do. It's just how ingenious they are and how much brains they have and whether or not they truly want to go. I know it's expensive now. I've just sent four children through college,
mm-hmm.
one through law school, one through a PhD at the University of Utah. But fundamentally, I don't, all things are relative.
Mm-hmm.
And we, well, for example, I had my first new suit of clothes that I ever owned after I had got my bachelor's degree here, my master's degree at Illinois, and had worked a year. Then I got my first new suit of clothes.
Okay. What kinds of extracurricular activities were important to you and other students in 38?
Well, the student council was a very important function on campus, and those of us who were privileged to be part of it enjoyed it. The athletic events of all kinds were wonderful. I remember in particular that a football game in the fall of my freshman year when we still played Wesleyan, and we beat Wesleyan 7-6, and it was the first time in 27 years that Normal had defeated Wesleyan. That was quite a celebration. The school dances, we had all school dances. We managed to get included in the price of the semester fee, I think a $4 charge for each student, and that brought four of the big-name bands to the campus every year. Bands like Henry James and Woody Herman and the Dorseys. And through those years, those all-school dances were wonderful. They were tremendous.
That's great. Can you tell me what the price of a hamburger, a movie, gasoline, basic things like that were?
Believe it or not, there were two hamburger joints on Main Street in Bloomington that were run by family called Baker, and Baker's hamburgers, you could get six of them for a quarter.
Oh, my goodness.
And hamburgers at any other restaurant were nickel a piece. Mm-hmm. Coke was a nickel. We had more dates on a dime for two Cokes than anything else, if we could find the dime. I suppose a movie might have cost, from 10 cents when I was a freshman to a quarter at the normal theater. We had free movies, of course, at Cape and Auditorium every weekend, and they were good movies, and we enjoyed them. Gasoline was 10 cents a gallon. Quite different scale of costs than there are today.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what the typical mode of dress would have been in 38? For example, what would you have worn to class? What would you have worn to church on a date?
Well, some of the kids were fortunate enough to have suits. I never did. I had sweaters and slacks, and the jeans were not really acceptable. They were considered overalls, and so we didn't wear overalls to class or to church or on a date. I remember having several pairs of what were called moleskin pants, and I don't know how tough a moleskin is, but those trousers were tough. They'd wear forever, and that was the reason we had them. The girls wore sweaters and skirts mostly, a few dresses, and very modest expenditures for dresses, dress or suits or clothing of any kind.
Okay, getting off the track just a little bit, I was fortunate enough last year to talk to some of the alums from 33, mm-hmm. and they mentioned that the only dorm on campus at that time was Fell Hall. Was that true when you were here also?
There was a boys' dormitory also called Smith Hall.
Okay.
And, yes, those were the only dorms. All the rest of it were in the houses surrounding the university. Mm-hmm. And the ag students went together and rented a house in total, and they called that the Ag Corral. And maybe 20 or 25 ag majors would stay in the Ag Corral each year.
Okay. What was the most important national event that happened in those years? Of course, you've already mentioned the Depression. Was there anything else?
Well, I suppose the draft came the year after we graduated. Hitler's proceeding into Poland came 1939, which was just after we graduated, but the events in Europe were shaping up. The Nazi Party was gaining strength, and so there was a general uneasiness in the United States. I suppose that maybe the election of President Roosevelt to the second term in 1936 was a very important national event. The NRA that he put into effect after he was elected in 32 helped lots and lots of students go to work, go and go to school, because they could work at school and maybe get 25 or 30 cents an hour, and if they could get 10 or 12 or 15 hours a week in, that would keep them in school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what were the most popular forms of entertainment on campus when you were here?
Well, I think probably the athletic events, the all-school dances that I mentioned, the movies that were on Friday and Saturday nights at Cape and Auditorium. We had a little place on the corner of the campus over on School Street called the Alamo when I started as a freshman. That turned into the co-op later, that you could go and have sit for a long, long time and nurse a Coke. And so there were dates and
probably about the same as it is now.
I think so.
Okay. What do you remember about the towns of Bloomington and Normal? How big was Normal when you were here?
Well, Normal at that time was about 10,000. I don't believe they were including the students as part of the town population then. I'm not sure if they are or not now.
I don't think so.
But Normal was about 10,000. Bloomington was about 30,000. But I remember a feeling of friendliness and hospitality and cordiality and helpfulness, and many, many, many families took a student into a basement room and let them work for their room to mm-hmm. take care of the furnace or to take care of the lawn so that they could help them go to school. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any of the feeling of antagonism that seems to exist now between the townspeople and Normal and the student body. Mm-hmm. I think that's terribly unfortunate and very short-sighted on the part of the present-day students. That is certainly regrettable. There was none of that then. There was a great rapport between the people in the community and the student body. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any feelings of conflict at all.
Mm-hmm. I think we feel, I don't know if we're true in feeling this, but a lot of us feel that antagonism comes from both sides.
I'm sure it does.
We don't feel welcomed here a lot of times.
I'm sure it does.
You know, we don't know if it's because we're just so large now.
Yes.
Or, you know.
Well, things either tend to deteriorate or improve, mm-hmm. and I hope that this can improve.
I hope so, too. okay, you've already mentioned about the uses of tobacco and alcohol on and off campus, so I think we can go on from there. What was one of the things that you liked most about ISNU?
Well, I think the thing I liked best about ISU was that we knew everybody. We knew, you never saw a strange face. You spoke to everybody on campus, the teachers, you knew them, whether you'd mm-hmm. had them or not, you knew them. I think that the closeness and the real feeling of sentiment was the thing which I liked best about it. I remember feeling the day I graduated that I had about 4 years of maybe being as close to heaven as I would ever get. I loved every minute that I was here. I was fortunate enough to be president of my class my freshman year and senior year, president of the student body my junior year, and I won the scholarship that let me get my master's degree, and I thought Normal had treated me beyond belief. I was so, so happy with it.
Is there anything, it doesn't sound like there's anything you could have liked least about ISNU.
No, I thought it was just about perfect.
Okay. Can you give me an idea of what the campus boundaries were then?
Well, what is now College Street was Mulberry, and that was the north boundary. University Street was the west boundary. School Street was the east boundary, and Buford on the south was the south boundary.
So all we've really done is kind of gone across the street, basically.
That's right.
So it was basically what we would term the quad now.
And, of course, what I mentioned did not include the University Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And University Farm now has Horton.
That's where I live in West Campus.
Yes, has the West Campus.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Can you just, after having come back, what are some of the new buildings that you see on campus now that weren't here in 38? I'm sure quite a few.
Well, let me go the other way. The only ones that I would really recognize here would be the Science Building.
Dunley?
The old castle.
Edwards.
McCormick Gym,
mm-hmm.
and Fell Hall.
Okay.
And beyond that, the campus is new.
Okay. Was Milner Library housed on School Street then? Or was there a Milner Library then?
No. The library was just west of the Science Building. I don't know what it's used for now. It was a small building.
With a green tile roof?
Well, I can't say as to
it's,
that.
It's Williams Hall now.
Oh, I see.
It's a business hall.
Yeah.
Was the Union House next to the
there was
library?
No Union.
There was no Union. That's a new building also.
We had a student union in the basement of Old Main. Consisted of two rooms. And one you could play bridge in, and the other one you just sat and visited in.
Uh-huh. Can you just maybe mention a few things about Old Main? I've seen pictures of it. It's a very impressive building.
Well, I remember it vividly, and I sort of almost lost my alumni membership when they tore it down. Because it was the first building built in 1857, the year the school started. And by the way, my parents graduated here in 1892. But Old Main had three floors going up and then a full basement underneath, and it was all used. And the union, the two rooms union I mentioned were in the basement, mm-hmm. as was the bookstore. But the first floor of Old Main housed the president's office and the post office and Dean Schrader's office and a few classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
the second and third floor were primarily classrooms, although there were a couple of larger rooms that were used for meeting rooms. And in the days of my parents, and in my freshman and sophomore year, there were two societies, literary societies, called Philadelphian and Ritonian. And you either belonged to one or the other. And those rooms were used for those meetings.
Okay. In summary, are there any other special memories that we have not touched upon that you'd like to add now?
Well, yeah. I have a personal memory that is vivid. As president of senior class, I organized a senior skip day. And didn't occur to me that I should have secured permission for this from the president and the dean of the school. I just simply got so many dollars from each senior who wanted to go on the skip day. And we got box lunches, and we got buses, and we took them all up to Lake Bloomington, and we had a marvelous day.
Mm-hmm.
The day after we got back, I was summoned to the president's office. And this was 2 weeks before I was to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can recall Dean Schrader slamming across from his office through the post office and into the president's office and literally throwing himself into a chair because he was a man with quite a temper. And he glared at me and he said, "By what right do you take an entire class out of this university for a day?" And we had a marvelous sponsor of our senior class, Mr. Byers, who was a social science teacher. And he defended me. I fully expected to be expelled and not allowed to graduate. But that is a memory that I have very dear. I don't know whether they have a senior skip day or whether they don't anymore.
No, we don't really, but I guess with the rate of skipping, normally they don't need another day to skip.
I expect that's right.
So.
But that, all in all, my memories, as you can see, of normal were very sweet and very dear and very, very meaning a great deal to me.
I hope I can come back in 45 years and say the same.
I do too. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Hutch.
Thank you. You bet.